Shalom. As we begin our preparations for Rosh Hashanah, which is coming up shortly, we start to think about the meaning of our prayers, of the day, and of the central mitzvah of the day, which is the blowing and the hearing of the shofar. I'd like to discuss a particular halachic issue which may be able to provide an insight to the crux of what shofar is about. In the Torah, it doesn't say that we blow a shofar on Rosh Hashanah, but it does say that Rosh Hashanah is Yom Truah, a day of the trumpet shout, or of the shout. And the Chachamim of the Talmud understood that the meaning of the word Truah is a certain type of blast of the shofar, or a certain type of sound. The Chachamim also understood from other places in the Torah that there is another type of sound, which we call the tkia. The tkia is a long blast, doot, whereas the truah is a broken sound. And in the Talmud, there are two opinions about what this sound is, and a third opinion as well, as is popular in the Talmud. We have a sound called the shvarim, which is three short broken sounds, do, do, do. Or we have what's called the truah, which is a set of staccato sounds, which we usually make at least nine, do, 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 do. And a third opinion is that we do a combination of the two, what we call the shvarim truah, do, 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 do. We make a combination sound. And the Gemara explains these sounds by saying that the shvarim, the slightly longer sound, reminds us of moaning or groaning, anacha, sighing, whereas the staccato sound reminds us of what the Gemara calls yulala, or wailing, which is a different type of crying. That is, the truest sounds of the shofar, which are broken sounds, are actually sounds which remind us, says the Gemara, of different types of crying. So, again, there are three possibilities, and we, in our custom, do all three. We have the shvarim, the truah, and the shvarim truah. So, do this by having sets of sounds with a tkia, and then one of the truah sounds and a tkia, and we do this over and over. Each sound, that is, each tkia, each truah, is a sound. That is, it's a particular musical moment. And because of that, it's important in halakha that no breath is taken in the middle of a sound, so that the shvarim, which has three short sounds, has to be done in one breath. The truah, which has to be nine staccato sounds, have to be done in one breath. However, what about the shvarim truah, the combination of the sighing and the wailing? Is it done in one breath or two? A very interesting machloket rishonim. Rabbeinu Tam says that the shvarim and truah have to be produced in two separate breaths. That is, one has to take a breath in between the shvarim and the truah. Rabbeinu Tam explains, this is the way people cry. If we've ever heard a baby, for instance, or a small child cry, generally the cry will be, ooh, ooh, and then a large breath, and then starting to wail. And this is a general way of crying, says Rabbeinu Tam. So if the shofar is supposed to represent crying, then we should have to take a breath in the middle, which is the derech habechi, which is the way that people cry. Other Rishonim, the Ritz Geyot and others, are of the opinion that this can't be, for the shvarim truah is the sound that the Torah calls truah, and a sound has to be one musical moment, and therefore there can't be a breath in the middle. The breath in the middle would interrupt that sound. What's at the bottom of this issue? So I would like to approach it in the following way. We think about the shofar on Rosh Hashanah from two essentially different but very important points of view. On the one hand, we relate the shofar to Akedat Yitzchak, to the binding of Yitzchak, to the fact that when God told Avram not to sacrifice his son, he provided a ram caught by his horns in the thicket to provide a substitute sacrifice, a substitute offering for Yitzchak. And that horn that was caught in the thicket is our shofar. Another point of view of the shofar is the voice of the shofar, Kol HaShofar, which Bnei Israel heard when they stood at Har Sinai. Three times, twice before and once after the hearing the Ten Commandments, the Torah reports that the Jews heard the voice of the shofar, the Kol HaShofar Chazak Mod. It was an exceedingly strong voice, a strong sound. Now, these two manifestations of shofar are not only different, they're opposites. Because at the Akedah, at the binding of Yitzchak, there was a shofar, but no one blew it. Avram didn't blow the shofar. The shofar was there on the ram. The ram was offered, and the shofar was not blown. At Mamad Har Sinai, the Jews heard the voice of the shofar as they heard the thunder and saw the lightning, that it was a heavenly sound. It wasn't something produced by a man, apparently. So there was a kol shofar, a voice of the shofar, but there was no shofar. The reason for this distinction, this dichotomy, or what it comes to represent to us, is the difference between Akedat in Yitzchak and Mamad Har Sinai. Even though the Torah emphasizes in very subtle ways that there is a connection between Akedat Yitzchak and Mamad Har Sinai. Akedat Yitzchak took place on the third day that Avram was commanded. It was on a mountaintop. Two people went up to the mountain, Avram Yitzchak, and they told their servants to stay below. Someone stayed down, someone went up. The same thing happened at Mamad Har Sinai. It was on the third day, Vayihi B'yom HaShlishi. Moshe had to go up into the mountain. Others were left behind. The Torah reports that the goal or the outcome of both of these cosmic events was Yirat Shamayim. After Akedat Yitzchak, it says that God says to Avram, Ata yadati ki yirei Elokim ata, now I know that you are God-fearing man. And at Mamad Har Sinai, Hashem says, Leman tiya yirat Hashem al pneichem, so that you will have Yirat Shamayim. That is, there are several connecting factors, but the connecting factors point out that the Akedah and Mamad Har Sinai, the bounding of Yitzchak and the theosophy of Sinai, represent two complementary events. At Akedat Yitzchak, Avram tried to raise himself up to God. He tried to raise himself through raising up, through bringing his son, Vahalehu Sham La'ola, bring him up there as an offering. At Mamad Har Sinai, Hashem came down and brought the Torah down onto Har Sinai. Vayered Hashem Elohar, Hashem descended onto the mountain. The essence of Akedat Yitzchak is the attempt of man to rise up. The essence of Mamad Har Sinai is God bringing the Torah down to us. Man raises himself through sacrifice, through prayer, and when doing so, he brings the shofar, that is, the shofar that represents the human, earthly aspect of man, and we turn it into a voice, we turn it into something that is non-physical. It doesn't have words, it is a sound. It's a sound of longing, a sound of crying, a song of wanting to rise to Hashem. When Hashem brings Torah into the world, Hashem brings that which is spiritual, that which is abstract, that which is not earthly, and makes his will manifest through the acts of men. The perfect representation of Akedat Yitzchak is the shofar, the horn of the shofar, which we hope to turn into sounds. The perfect representation of Ma'amad Har Sinai is the sound of the shofar, which becomes realized and actualized through the acts of men in the physical world. So what are we doing on Ma'amad Har on Rosh Hashanah? What is it that we're experience on Rosh Hashanah? Is it the raising up, or is it hearing the voice of God going down? I think that this might be at the center of the machloket, the controversy between Rabbeinu Tam and the Ritzkeyev. Rabbeinu Tam says that the voice of the shofar is the voice of crying. It's the voice of Avram Avinu, who's going up, who's sacrificing his son, who's crying for his son, and praying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should accept his offering. The shofar is also, and this is why Rabbeinu Tam says that the shofar has to be the voice of crying. It has to have a breath. It has to be like a man crying. But the Ritzkeyev says that the shofar is a pure sign, a sound, an essential sign, a distilled sound. It's not a sound that we are making, it's a sound that we are hearing. It's the sound of Hashem. The voice of Hashem calling out to us, as the Rambam says that the shofar calls us to do tshuva. In Hashem's calling to us, there is no room for a breath. There's no room for a manifestation of human shortcoming. So maybe the machloket is about whether the voice of the shofar is us going up to God and God coming down to us. It could be that Rabbeinu Tam's opinion is also connected to another of opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, that the bracha that we make on the shofar is litkoa b'shofar, to blow the shofar, not to listen to the shofar. This is not our custom. We make the bracha lishmoa kol shofar. We hear the voice of the shofar. But if the sound is a sound that we're making, according to Rabbeinu Tam, the proper bracha might have been litkoa. Be that as it may, our custom is to do both the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam and the opinion of the Ritzkeyat. And the Shulchan Aruch says, and this is the minhag in almost all Jewish communities, that in the tkiot de miyushav, in the first tkiot, those which are after Kriyat HaTorah, we follow the opinion that there should be no breath and that the entirety Shvarim Truah should be done together. Whereas in the tkiot de Mu'mad, the tkiot of Chazarat HaShatz, of Musaf, of the Musaf prayer, we do the tkiot like Rabbeinu Tam, with a slight breath in between. And this is the way that the Balei Tokea are instructed. This makes perfect sense. The Minhag puts together these ideas beautifully. The first tkiot, which are next to Kriyat HaTorah, represents the sound of the shofar as it comes down from Shamayim, as it comes to us from Ma'amad Har Sinai. Then we blow the shofar without a breath in between, representing a heavenly voice, a voice that does not represent crying, but represents a call to us from Hashem. Hashem is calling out to us. But in the Musaf, we commemorate the Karbanot of the Beit HaMikdash. We say the Musaf prayer in place of the Karbanot that we are not able to sacrifice today. And therefore, it makes sense that the blowing of the shofar that accompanies that prayer should be the human sound, the sound of our crying, the sound of our prayer, the sound of our calling out to God, hoping to raise ourselves to the level that we may truly declare Him the King of the world and come before Him in prayer and for judgment. May we be zocha that this Rosh Hashanah, we and all of Klal Yisrael may be inscribed in the book of life, in the book of the righteous, and that we should be blessed with a wonderful, healthy and happy coming year with a Gula Shlema, with a return to the Beit HaMikdash, and seeing the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu. Thank you.